Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 102, the first paragraph, Why Sit with a Long Face? Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reader of the text, Dana P., Shelley E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Penny L.C. The reference number for Monday, November 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,155. That's 18155. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,159. That's 18159. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kathy S., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Don, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 102, the first paragraph, Why Sit with a Long Face?, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Dana P. here in California. Thank you so much for letting me be of service here in November. We have a fantastic team. I'm looking forward to this paragraph. Start the timer. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you're with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of the world. Don't start with to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Wow, wow, wow. Why sit with a long face? I don't know why I keep thinking of horses, but, you know, the long face, you know, what is that? That's self-pity. Woe is me, woe is me. I'm not like everybody else. And that's what I've done. And it's so interesting because what I recognize is so many of my my character liabilities popping up right here, you know, the self-seeking. I want to be like everybody else, so I'm going to eat what everybody else says to eat or what they're offering me. And then I get into resentment and fear and go into the bathroom and do what I would do, stick my fingers down my throat. Well, that wasn't even necessary at one point. Just really, really sick. And it was all about me, 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 me. And now I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to participate in activities and to focus on others and where I can be of service there. And for those people that question me about, you know, why am I not eating that or why don't I want to have that, I don't even need to explain to them what's going on. I say, you know, just as it says here, it just disagrees with me. I just don't eat that. And people don't they really don't care. I heard it said earlier on and in the first meeting is that people really want to talk about themselves, or they're more interested in talking about themselves than you. And if they're focused on what I'm eating and or what I'm not eating, you know, maybe they do have a problem. And that's when it comes down to this part where it talks about at the proper time you can explain to your friends. So I was completely withdrawn from life, and that's what I continued to do as a result of the disease. And now I'm getting back into the flow of life and how I can be of service to my fellows and to my God. So I'm just really grateful to this program and grateful for everyone here on the line. Here I am in California. You can find me on the member list if you'd like to give me a call. So thanks so much, Dawn. I'm going to pass. That's my time.
Thank you, Dana P., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Kara L.
Kara L.
Tammy M.
Tammy M.
Beth V. from Pennsylvania.
Beth V.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C. Okay, let's stop there. I have Kara L., Tammy M., Beth V., Penny L. C., and Cynthia C. Kara, go ahead and get us started.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and everybody else who's given service for us on Tuesdays in November. Thank you. I was just thinking, I have a family occasion coming up this weekend, and I was like, oh, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And it was all about me. And then we read this paragraph, and I was like, why sit with a long face? You know, why be there? How? And it gives me instructions. If it's a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If it's a business occasion, go and attend your business enthusiastically. You know, and I thought, yeah, it's right there. It's me saying, you know, higher power, I don't know how to do this. Please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And it's me thinking of others there first before thinking of myself. You know, this morning when I was sitting here with a long face trying to figure out what I was going to do, it was all about me and my solutions and how I think it needed to go. And there was nowhere in there where my higher power was giving me instructions. And so I did write up a 10-step. And, you know, what I got from that was from my higher power, you know, invite me into the situation. I'm only a thought and a breath away. And that's just it. When I think I have the answer, oh, I am so far from the answer. And when I say, you know, higher power, please give me intuitive thought or inspiration or a decision. How can I best serve in this situation? And I just let it go. Things just work out when I invite that power into the situation. When I know that I don't know. And, you know, I just love that our big book has these answers here. You know, when I'm thinking of it, and I knew I had to share today because I was like, it's right there. Increase the pleasure of those around me. Do my business enthusiastically. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone else.
Thank you, Kara L. from California, for getting us started. Tammy M., please share with us now, followed by Beth V. Good morning, Tammy.
Hi, good morning. God, this paragraph really hit me. Why the long face? I went to two family occasions Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, and I have to say, when I was in my disease, I'm from Illinois. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and when I was in my heaviest weight, I would sit in the corner and sit on the couch and not participate in the activities of my family because I was too shy. I didn't want to be around anybody. And I just didn't want to participate because the disease kept me in my sickness. I didn't want to participate. But this time it was different. Going to holidays, I participated. I had my higher power in my back pocket. And I even made a toast at one of the occasions. I didn't sit. My disease, my higher power didn't keep me isolated. I participated. And it was actually the best holidays I had yet. Because I didn't listen to my disease. I followed along with my higher power, and it made it so much different for me. And I enjoyed the holidays here, unless that's up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy M. from Illinois. And now Beth V., will you share with us, followed by Penny L.C.? Go ahead and share with us. Oh, go ahead.
Hi there. This is Beth V., as in Victor, from Pennsylvania. Thank you all who are of service today and who are listening on the line. I'm very grateful to be recovering today. And as I listened this morning to the meetings, I felt very, grateful that this paragraph shows me a different way to live today. You know, starting out with the, I'm no more longing, no more pining for my alcoholic foods. I don't do that anymore. I am not to do that anymore. That's part of the disease. No more thinking about that. And I substitute the thought of God instead of food that I want to eat. And that's how I do that. This idea of how to add to an occasion by being happy, bring in my happy face and stop worrying about myself at a party and try to increase the pleasure of those that are around me. I mean, that is not who I used to be. And this program has given me a shift. And being of service to others, I now check my motives about what am I doing in a place and what can I bring to it rather than what will I get out of it, which is all about the self. And this program has taught me that if I want to succeed today and stay abstinent, I have to forget myself and think of others. And I was a person who withdrew from life. I was hiding and eating in my car or at home alone secretly. My little secret obsession and compulsion was isolating. I was in the bubble of my disease and withdrawn from a normal life with other people. And I was consumed by my food obsessions and compulsions. And slowly this program started to bring me out of that one step at a time. I am getting back into the social life of the world and not thinking about food in between my meals because I can't be of service to my fellows when I'm hiding out and in the disease. So my job today is to seek my higher power to keep me safe around all things, to work this program and the steps and to be of service and work towards neutrality around food and around any of my old obsessions. So I'm so grateful to be a member of Vision, and with that I will pass.
Thank you, Beth Fee from Pennsylvania. Penny L.C., please share now, followed by Cynthia C., and then I'll be opening up the lines. Just a reminder, we are on page 102, the first paragraph, Why Sit with a Long Face? So go ahead, Penny.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. And good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this paragraph reminds me that, I have a choice, and I can choose to live in the bondage of the disease, but also I can choose to live with the freedom and to not settle for the bondage of, for a bondage in recovery either. My recovery allows me to have that choice and to see the choices and to see the gratitude around the situation. And there are opportunities to be a part of instead of apart from. I know my truth is that food is not the problem. And when I'm living in a spiritually centered frame of mind, instead of a self-centered focus, I can trust the protection of my higher power. I can live in the freedom to go anywhere at any time and participate and not just be there in body, but be there in mind and spirit, to be upbeat, to be positive, to be counting my blessings. And all of that can contribute to just such a whole different experience when I'm realizing, that gift of freedom is mine, so long as I stay connected to my higher power. Grateful to be walking along with each of you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. from Washington. And now, Cynthia C., please share with us.
Hi, thank you so much, moderator, and everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm deeply, deeply, deeply grateful to hear everyone's shares. I'm Cynthia C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Newton, Massachusetts. So two Cynthia C's in Massachusetts. This is such a good passage, such a good passage. I'm grateful that over the holidays or over these years, these 4.5 years I've been in program and in recovery, that I don't crave my alcoholic foods. My family and friends can eat whatever and it's okay. I think what I find is that in the stress of having my family around, what I want to do is I want to just have larger portions of my abstinent food. And, this morning I was really grateful. I had a nice breakfast and I thought, I want more. I want more of this. This is really tasty. I want more. And I was like, you know what? I felt so grateful that I had done, that I had done my prayer meditation in the morning, and I could just say, it's okay. This is enough food. Like this is, I've been working on editing my food plan with a new dietitian, and dealing with some GI issues. And, I'm grateful. Like there's someone who's knowledgeable who says this is enough food. because I can't rely on myself. And over the Thanksgiving weekend, over the long weekend, there were two very hard incidents that happened. Very, very, very hard incidents for me. And, my disease part of me wants to just only focus on how horrible the weekend was because these two terrible things happened. And that's like the old unrecovered me. And yet I'm really grateful to say that the rest of the weekend was really good. My family completely fell apart about an hour before we were going to sit down at the Thanksgiving table. And it was really bad. Like they were all, my husband and my three daughters were behaving very badly. And I was grateful that I could stay and be present and be thoughtful and try to be helpful and not engage in the fight. And finally, I did set a boundary, and I did say, I finally set a boundary, and I think that was actually good. I set a boundary, and I said, I worked really hard for this, and if you guys can't pull it together, then I'm going to go. I'm going to go to a hotel for the night. And that was a boundary. It wasn't a threat. It was like really learning that I need to take care of myself, that I need to take care of myself today. And I was of service, but when I can't be of service and people are breaking my boundaries, it's okay for me to take myself away from that. And there was another incident that happened that someone was really hurtful to me, and I'm having trouble letting it go. And I know that I can keep doing 10 steps. I know that maybe I have a fear inventory, and I'm also, really grateful for what I've learned in program to know that maybe if somebody's bothering me, that it's something about, if there's anything that's disturbing me, it's about me. I think you said time. So with that, I'll pass, and I'm just so grateful. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else's shares. It really means so much to join you guys this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. And now I'm going to be taking names of people who would like to share on page 102, the first paragraph, Why Sit with a Long Face. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
I'd like to share. My name is Jenna from Illinois.
Jenna?
Yes.
Kim O.
Kim O.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
A lot of people here.
Kelly H.
M.
Shelly H.
Christy
and
M.
Christy M. Thank you.
Kathy
okay,
S.
I have, and Kathy S.
Noreen K.
And Noreen K. And we'll stop there. Okay, I have Jenna. And what's your initial, Jenna?
G.
Jenna G. Very good. Kim O. Sherry K. B. Shelly H. Christy M. Kathy S. And Noreen K. So, Jenna G., please get us started.
Good morning, everybody. How do I reference the reading? I try to think of myself as just like everybody else. And I know that that's not exactly what the program teaches us, but I spent so much of my life feeling unique and special and different because I had an eating disorder. And what I've come to believe is that, one, maybe not everybody has an eating disorder or the disease of compulsive overeating or undereating or bulimia, but I think most people struggle with food in general. And if not food, something else. And I try my best to say to myself, Jenna, whatever is going on inside you is probably going on inside, you know, everyone. And even though I'm overweight and I don't consider myself abstinent, I do have some serenity around the imperfection of my food. Now, I come from a background of more restricting and bulimia in my early years, and recently it's gone over to overeating. And let's see, sit with a glum face. This holiday season was, the Thanksgiving was very difficult for me. I had resentment the whole time, and I understand that, you know, I have to take some responsibility for my resentment. But then I also understand that there are going to be people who I just don't like or that rub me the wrong way. And it's about me because it's I just don't like it, or I find it offensive, or I'm irritated. And those are all, I think, valid feelings. What we do with them is, I guess, where I think the real disease or disorder comes in. I think that something that's dangerous to us is to not have our feelings validated or our experience validated. And what I'm also learning in closing is that I might not get that validation from other people, that, you know, X is irritating me, X is doing this intentionally. I might not get them to say, oh, Jenna, it's okay, blah, 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 blah. So I have to give it to myself, and I have to live my own truth. And I have to say to myself, you know, I'm not going to act out and make it worse. But is that time?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll be – anyway, just to finish, I'm not going to act out with anything to make it worse. I'm just going to – try to learn to deal with the uncomfortable feelings. And that's all I have. Thank you. I'm sorry I went over.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Jenna G. And Kim O, will you share with us now, followed by Sherry KB?
Hi, yes. This is Kim O. 32 days abstinent from my alcoholic food. And this is a powerful paragraph for me. I mean, I feel like there was just a lot of wisdom that stood out in ways it hasn't in the past. And, you know, just a couple of things that I could relate to when it talks about, you know, why sit with a long face. You know, I am going to have times when I look back and be like, I miss some of the things that I ate and the comfort. And I can recognize that thought, but I don't have to stay there. I can put up that stop sign and wherever I'm at, like it says, whatever the occasion is, I can be other-centered. I can be focused on service, and I can look at doing life, being present and enthusiastically. It says others should not change their, you know, I shouldn't request others to change how they're eating or what's happening. And I'm aware of that, and that is good to hear. The thing that I recognized over the last month is, even though I don't need to change that for other people, I am influencing my son, and I can cook differently and encourage that with him for a healthy lifestyle. The piece that talks about, like, how to explain alcoholism in here, or how to explain why I'm not, you know, eating the same foods. I had not thought about this as just a simple, you know, Jade, I'm not here to justify, argue, or defend why I'm not eating something. But I can say that there's a number of foods that disagree with me, like it says. And that's the truth. They cause significant health problems. And that may be just all I need to say, if anything, if anybody's even noticed. The piece that talked about I was withdrawing from life little by little. I do obsessively, you know, whether it's for comfort or numbing with food, it does bring me in a place of isolation. And now I can focus on, you know, like it talks about, you know, engaging socially, and that means something I've never done, which is building healthy relationships. Thank you. Building healthy relationships and working on a healthy me. So thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim O. And now, Sherry KB, please share with us, and please share the state or country you're calling from so those on our member list might contact you if they'd like. Go ahead,
Sherry. Hi, this is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Tuesday, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. The first thing that jumps out at me is the long face. Why the long face? And what this reminds me of is the long face is like you're white knuckling it. You know, I can remember when I got into a program, one of the many branches of OA, and, you know, I was white knuckling it. I was a nervous wreck. I hadn't been working the steps. I wasn't recovered. And I was just basically white knuckling it. And I just look back on that, and I was like telling everybody, you know, that I'm doing this and I'm, you know, I can't eat that and all this stuff. And I just, you know, I was running amok. And I look back on that, and, you know, there was no freedom there. There was no joy. And I feel like because of the steps and a connection with my higher power, I do have the freedom and joy, and I go and I enjoy myself, and I don't make a big deal out of it. If somebody asks me, I tell them, but I don't go into this big explanation. People that usually have my disease are watching what I'm doing. People who don't have this disease, they could care less. If I can be of service to them, that's what I want to do. And, you know, I don't want people to change their habits because of myself. I think about what I can bring to the occasion, bring myself, bring my recovery, bring my joy, my freedom, and not judge them with what they're eating or not eating or whatever they're doing. that's the joy and freedom I have, because I'm, you know, abstinent happily and contently and neutral around the food, sane, safe, and protected is what I, you know, is promised to me if I do the work, if I stay in the steps and have the food down. And just that, you know, I'm a very social person, and when I've been in the food, I'm not social. I'm the complete opposite. And so I do love going, and I do love being of service. And, you know, I notice that when I'm of service, I'm out of myself, and I'm being of service to somebody else. And that could just mean having a conversation, sitting next to a person, having a meal, and that I don't have to explain anything. They can ask. Anyone's welcome to ask me, but I don't go into this big, you know, poor me thing because, you know, you're getting to eat something and I can't. And, you know, that's, to me, that's the compulsive overeater's mind not recovered for me. And, you know, it talks about, you know, getting back into the social thing of life and especially here it says don't start to withdraw again. You know, because that's my time. And I thank God for God and I pass. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Sherry KB from California. And now Shelley H., please share with us, followed by Christy M. Good morning, Shelley.
Actually, it's Kelly H., but that's okay.
Oh, Kelly. There
it's okay. Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater working through recovery. I'm so thankful for your service and for all the amazing shares. And, boy, I am also going to talk a little bit about white knuckling. This paragraph is so beautiful. It's kind of like you're at the, well, for me, it's like you're at the end of the rainbow. my pot of gold is that I could actually be with people, that I am not so obsessive about myself, my eating, the way an outfit might be cutting into me, or that I don't look good because all my clothes are old and shabby because it's what I fit into. I mean, it's so not about me. It's about the event. It's about the other people at the table. It's about seeing friends across the table, and I'm not dominating through conversation. Or withdrawing to such a painful silence that it makes people at the table uncomfortable. I'm just blown away. I'm coming up to a 1-year anniversary of being in this program. Actually, it's about 11 months now. But what I like about this paragraph is that when I go through a season where I have some slips, or I'm white knuckling through something, I absolutely recognize that maybe my 11th step hasn't been to a helpful practice. You know, the morning times are slipping into a more neutral gear, or maybe the evening time I stayed up too late and I didn't get my practices to write out something to my sponsor. And if I come up to a later hour and I'm nodding off while I'm trying to text this thing to my sponsor, it's just not helpful. It's not a really good, it's not a well-executed step 11, and I have a season of that. And I start, then that starts to show off in my slipping in my program. I'm not weighing and measuring as I do in my program, or I am white knuckling something and it just feels really powerful and I really want it. And when I do the slipping and the white knuckling, both of those things are just so completely disturbing. They don't lead to liberty and enjoyment in a moment. They lead to disturbance upon disturbance. And that's a true evidence to me that I'm relying on my own imagined power, and I really need to lean into God in those moments. So I heard it last night in a different meeting that basically I can pray for the willingness until it comes. So with that, I enjoy the holiday season, and I'm going to be praying for my own willingness. I'm so grateful for this call, and thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Kelly H. from North Carolina. Christy M., please share with us, followed by Kathy S. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater in Oregon. And I appreciate this passage so much right now. In my program, using my food plan and a lot of my tools, I know what foods to have in my house, and my house is a very safe place for me. But as we go into the holiday seasons, and I host things at my house, you know, I don't control what others bring or eat. And I like what this paragraph says, is that I shouldn't do that. You know, I need to learn how to bring my program outside of my house. And likewise, when I go to other people's homes, I don't dictate what they eat there or what other people eat or what they serve. But what that means is I don't have a lot of control over what I'm around. And sometimes that's hard. So I feel like this paragraph is really timely for me. I think what I've learned in my program and something that I have to accept in myself is, like, I'm powerless to not want to eat those foods or to be tempted. Like, that is step one. I'm powerless. It's why I'm in this program. And if I don't walk into those situations and turn it over to my higher power and lean on my higher power to get me through those situations, if I try to get through on my own will and my own strength, it's going to fail. And I think when I think of the times that struggled, I think it's because I've tried to rely on myself too much. I think the other things that have gotten me through the holiday seasons is just to have a plan. If it's a potluck, I need to bring abstinent food, so there's something there that I know is healthy for me to eat. You know, and if I'm going out somewhere, a lot of times I'll go and preview the menu and find something abstinent so that I know that I can eat something there on my food plan. And I think that's one of our tools, is having a plan. So when I do go out, I have a plan so that I know that I can stay abstinent. I plan ahead. And I really like this idea of, you know, part of working the 12 steps is practicing these principles in all our affairs. And recovery doesn't work if it's only in the walls of our home. We have to eventually learn how to have recovery in restaurants, in parties, at other people's homes, around our kind of temptation foods. So I've been abstinent for about a year and a half now, and this is kind of the next part of my program, is to practice my principles in all of my affairs. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are still struggling, and that's part of step 12, is that we carry this message to those that are still suffering. Thank you, and I'll wrap up. And so one of the ways we carry that message is to show up in places and be abstinent and not white knuckle it, and show what it means to walk into a situation where there's a lot of unhealthy food and make healthy choices. So thank you so much, and I will pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Now Kathy S., please share with us, followed by Noreen K.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And I love God and his timing, because just yesterday I was having this discussion with my sponsor. We have a Christmas, or it's a holiday party, actually, in my neighborhood. It's a relatively new neighborhood for us. We recently moved here. And I was like, you had to pay $10, and it's going to be heavy hors d'oeuvres and desserts. I'm like, and my husband's going to be out of town. I'm like, I have no business being there. That's where I started. And so this last sentence really spoke to me, and thankfully, so did my sponsor. You know, we don't withdraw just because others drink and eat. And my old way of thinking actually came in. I was like, well, and I was still making it about the food. You know, I'm not going to eat any of that stuff. And it's all about me, right? But in recovery, this is what we do. Like the last person just said, we're practicing these principles in all our affairs. I need to act in a new, I have a new way of living. It's all about others. And And it's not about the food. It's where, you know, at first I thought, you know, I can't show up to something like that. I'll be raw. I'll be alone. What? And even in this meeting, I've heard what I needed to hear, you know, how we need to increase the pleasure of those. Ask questions, seek to meet them, not the other way around. And it's an opportunity for me to work steps 6 and 7, you know, letting go of these defects of characters. The reasons why I ate was the defects, the selfishness that I was always trying to control how people think about me. I wanted to look good and be liked. And the dishonesty is, you know, that food is really what's going to connect me with others. And it never did, by the way. And also that I have that kind of power or need it. You know, I'm only getting my value and my security from other people. And that is not where it all lies today. It's with God. And so what an opportunity for me to step out of those defects and just be authentic, show up. Step 9, make that amend move, you know, for myself and for others, make it about them. And of course, in 11, do it with prayer. And 12, seek to be helpful. How can I add to the occasion rather than take away from it? And even in contributing money to help others enjoy more of that food, you know. So thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you for the shares prior that are helping me to prepare for this. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Kathy S. And Noreen K., please share with us, and we just have time for a 2-minute share, if that'd be okay, Noreen.
Oh, perfect. So I'm Noreen from South Florida. I am recovered. I've been in this program for, I think, 13 months. And I just have to share that I've been clear of my alcoholic foods for about 4 years. And I was in a different program for food. And I was thinking about how much freer I am now the way I am. So I went to Thanksgiving. I used to dread Thanksgiving at my mother-in-law's. We have a big family, and we'd always have to take a picture. Everybody would have to be perfect, and we'd all wear the same, you know, even after I just had a baby, and then you'd have to look at that picture forever. And I used to dread it. And every year I'd say, I'm gonna lose weight and be skinny for next year's picture and all this stuff. And anyway, of course, when I lost the weight, we quit doing those pictures. Whatever. Anyway, I just was realizing, though, the last couple of years I've been in her house, and I've been everyone's saying, I was like white knuckling it, uncomfortable, you know, the food, like dry turkey and a vegetable, you know, I was uncomfortable with it. And, but I did feel good that I was able to fit into my clothes. So this year I was not one bit uncomfortable. Felt so free. I didn't feel like a freak bringing all these things in my Tupperware. I could find something to eat there, and I was just more relaxed, you know, more into the people that were there, and not upset going there because I'm strangulating into a pair of jeans, and it's a miracle. And I just realized that I'm happily abstinent, and I like my food. Is that time? Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting me share. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Noreen K., and to everyone who shared. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Shelley, a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.